Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. This is the show for you as a family caregiver. How are you holding up? How are you doing? What's going on with you? And that's what this show is all about, is to help you better navigate through these journeys. And that's Gracie singing from her CD, Resilient. You get a copy of that. Go out to hopeforthecaregiver.com, hopeforthecaregiver.com, and just click on her CD cover. You can see more about what the CD is about. She's fussing at me, John. She's fussing at me because I haven't loaded her CD up to all the digital streaming services. And I delegated that task to someone.
Did you?
To help me with that. Oh, yeah. I don't want to mention these names, but he's extremely tall.
All right, and he's the reason that Gracie's picking at you. And rightly so, apparently. So let's schedule a phone call for tomorrow. Throw me directly under that bus. I will happily take that hit.
I didn't want to cast asparagus at you. But most of it, you can download it as individual songs, but people want to download the whole CD, and we're working on that. Bear with me.
Shoot your call tomorrow. We'll get that taken.
But as folks, if you want to get if you go out and take a look at our CD, if you get involved with the show and you help us underwrite the show through donating Standing with Hope, it's a tax deductible gift. We'll send you a copy of her CD, just as our gift and our thank you for doing this and for being a part of what we're doing. We're waiting in a moment here. I'm going to be joined with my friend Nancy, who took care of her parents. And then both of them passed away, and she's been closing out the house. And so I'm wanting to talk with her about some tips that she learned through that process of, this all kind of fell on her shoulders a bit, and to go through the estate sale, all that kind of stuff. Those are hard things.
And she's still grieving over the loss of her parents. Yeah. We've covered an awful lot on this show over the 8 or 9 years that we've been doing it, but that's one I don't think we've touched on it, of course, in passing, but I have questions, or rather, I don't even know what the questions are. I just want to, I'm just curious.
Well, I thought, okay, if she's willing to do this. Now, here's the backstory of Nancy. She was Gracie's roommate in college.
And
before her wreck, in fact, her parents were the emergency contact individuals for Gracie. Gracie listed her parents as emergency contacts locally in Nashville, because Gracie's parents lived in Florida, and Gracie was in college in Nashville, and Nancy's parents live right down, just a couple of miles from the school. And so they were the emergency contacts that the state authorities contacted Nancy's mother first. And so we go back a long way. So I've known her parents for many, many years. And then as I've watched as Nancy's gone through this. So Nancy, thank you for joining us. This is Nancy Strode Commish. And I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being prompt, Nancy. And
trying. Wasn't always prompt. Known for being prompt.
Prompt is the word I'm looking for. Now, we go back a long ways with Nancy and Craig, and I watched this as you, and of course I've had just deep regard for your folks, and as you watched them decline, and you knew what was coming, you knew all the things going on, and then you had to step in not only as caregiver, but then you kind of handled the estate of everything, and that can be quite a bit of headache and heartache at the same time. So if as much as you want to share, and I don't feel you got to just blew it all out there if you don't want to, but I think I would love to hear some insights that you got from it, things that you didn't know, things that you learned about yourself, and some things that maybe you can offer to other folks who find themselves in this situation. So take us down that path.
Well, it began about 8 years ago. My father is a physician. My mother and father were learned people and very educated, and my family had been in medicine. My sisters worked as nurses, and of course my husband's in the medical field, And I had always just assumed that everybody understood that aging was a process that no one could escape. And my father, being a learned individual, you know, he always gave advice, wonderful advice. His patients loved him dearly. And he gave advice about getting older. Don't stop. Whatever you do, don't stop and sit down. Make sure you continue to move mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, everything to prepare yourself for the future. And it was very interesting because, you know, you hear physician heal thyself, as people quote from the Bible. And though he
is that in the Bible?
in a version, it is.
The book of Second Opinions 3:19.
Yes, exactly. Well, we also called it the Carolyn's version. That was my mother's name, because she tended to use scripture in most unique ways. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, the thing was that he just kept assuming. He had been through my aunt's husband's death, my uncle, who was like a brother to him, an older brother. Then both my uncles passed. Both my aunts became, you know, aged and really were starting to suffer. My mother was the youngest, like I am, but she was the youngest by 8 years instead of just 3.5 or 5. It ended up, my father was called on by them to take care of some of their financial responsibilities, you know, at the end of life. And, you know, it seemed to go seamlessly. And he advised, of course, them before they passed, you know, in dealing with their financials and preparing and insurance and gathering all the materials and all that. And then I'm going to say a very Southern thing. Bless their little hearts.
Oh,
bless
no.
their hearts. Bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts. They really did not think that time would march on for themselves. And though they did do well in investing and such, they really did not prepare their preparers now,
yeah.
Meaning they didn't really prepare me. They didn't let me in. Oh, we'll let you know. We'll let you know when it's time. Okay, Daddy, you're 85 years old. You've had a stroke already. Everybody else, you know, that's older than you is struggling in their health and they're starting to decline. And mother's already started to show some dementia. Oh, but it's not time yet.
Not time yet. Not time yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I mean, it is understood, though. It is. Well, that's something that, you know, my mother has already passed away. But that was something she went, you know, she told me, like, when I moved out of the house, hey, here's all the financial stuff. Here's everything you need is in this box in this closet.
Oh, John, what a gift.
Yeah,
a gift.
It was really amazing. You know, my stepfather still lives in that house and everything. So I didn't have to do what you had to go through, but that's something that I want to encourage everybody to do because it's a tremendous peace of mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I should have said this to begin with. I basically lived a tale of two axes. I had a mother-in-law, they were in the ministry, and I had a mother-in-law, my husband's an only child, and they were amazingly prepared. She literally at 6 months before she passed, before she started having difficulties, or real difficulties, you know, with many strokes. She literally could give you within $10 of what her worth was, where her bills were,
Well, I'd give you $10 of where my worth is, but that's not much of a stretch. I could do it in five.
Now, do you remember was 90 at this point? She was 94 at this point in her life. Mm. And she had always been super organized, and unfortunately, organized is not a name that or a characteristic that he would probably go to immediately.
Not one of your particular spiritual gifts is the gift of organization. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Right. Now, if there's chaos and calamity, be sure that at some point Nancy has been there.
If there's chaos and calamity, you could be sure that I've been there too. So I'm tracking with you. Well, let me ask you a question. This is rather personal, so you feel free to just hang up and don't answer it. If that for you. But after they'd passed and you went over to the house, and this is the house you grew up in, and you went over to the house for the first time and you saw the volume of work that you're going to have to do to get this thing ready to do all the things. How did you handle that?
First and foremost, there are two things. My dear friend, who was only a text away, his name is Peter.
Oh, yeah.
I texted him and I said, "Oh, dear Lord, I am losing my mind."
Now, she didn't call me Lord, John. I just want you to know that. Okay. In case you were concerned, she was not calling me Lord. Well, she's called me other things, but not Lord.
Yeah. And somebody calling you and saying, "I'm losing my mind." And that's like, that's the blind leading the blind, man. I don't know.
It
reminds me of the old story of Ray Charles leading Ronnie Millsap through the backstage of something. That's a true story. And we'll get into that another time. But that happened at the Grand Ole Opry one time. So that's a true story. But you're very kind, because it was a pleasure to offer what I could. But you were going into areas that I haven't been, and I could just sense the weight on you, and so as you walked into the house for the first time.
Well, I began to weep. That's the first reaction. Because I realized, and I apologize, I may sound a little emotional. I realized the weight that this all had already fallen on me. We did not have a great communication between my parents, my two sisters, and myself. We all fell in different camps when it came to certain things about end of life. And I, of course, as I said, had been modeled to me in such an incredible manner by my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, Lucille and Alan. And they had actually begun in their ministry to sit down and counsel people to do this well, and to begin early. And one of the things that they said to me, and I'll never forget this, one of the things that Lucille said to me, sitting across the table from me, she said, "Nancy, I'm going to die." And of course, I started welling up. And she's 92 at this point, 92, 93 years old. And she's still driving. She's still taking herself. She's still cooking. She's still having people over and calling the little ladies, the little old ladies that are in my Sunday school. I'm having them over for lunch. That's what she used to say about her Sunday school. So she looked at me and she said, "Nancy, I'm going to die. And Craig is going to need your help to help him through this. And you will need to be strong. But I am going to provide you with the greatest thing that I can do for you, which is a plan. a plan that I began many years ago, knowing that Craig would not have a sibling to rely on, but he would have to depend on and partner with his life partner, his wife, to go through this most traumatic, difficult time for, yet, this is even more important, an only adopted child who had no siblings, whose, you know, cousins were far away. They were mostly in Georgia, but still they were not emotionally close or really physically close. And that, to me, when she looked at me and said, I have a plan for after my death, I relaxed and I thought, okay, this is going to work. I'm going to be okay.
What a great gift.
Oh,
what a great gift.
The most tremendous, tremendous gift.
We're talking with my friend Nancy Kamish. I've known her for a lifetime, and she and Gracie were roommates in college, and they're just dear friends, she and her husband Craig and their family. And she went through this trauma with on both sides of the family almost at the same time. And she learned a few things with it and is willing to open up her heart and share it with us. And I appreciate that. Don't go away. We got more to go. This is Hope for the Caregiver. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers, and part of being healthy is planning.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I have. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Hey, this is Peter Rosenberg, and in my 3.5 decades as a caregiver, I have spent my share of nights in a hospital, sleeping in waiting rooms on fold-out cots, chairs, even the floor, sometimes on sofas, and a few times in the doghouse, but let's don't talk about that. As caregivers, we have to sleep at uncomfortable places, but we don't have to be miserable. We use pillows from MyPillows.com. These things are great. They have a patented interlocking feel that adjusts to your individual sleep needs, and for caregivers trying to sleep in all the different places we have to sleep, believe me, our needs get ramped up significantly. Think about how clean your pillows are. In the COVID world, we're all fanatical about clean. Can you wash your pillows? With my pillows from MyPillow.com, we throw them in the washer and dryer. We do it all the time. 10-year warranty, guaranteed not to go flat, 60-day money-back guarantee, made in the USA. As a caregiver, you need rest. So start by going to MyPillow.com, type in the promo code CAREGIVER. You get 50% off the 4-pack, which includes 2 premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. You'll also receive a discount on anything else on the website when using your promo code CAREGIVER. That's MyPillow.com, promo code CAREGIVER.
24/7 emergency support, increasing safety, reducing isolation. These things are more important than ever as we deal with the challenges of COVID-19. How about your vulnerable loved ones? We can't always check on them or be there in ways we'd like. That's why there's Constant Companion, seamlessly weaving technology and personal attention to help push back against the isolation while addressing the critical safety issues of our vulnerable loved ones and their caregivers. Constant Companion is the solution for families today. Staying connected, staying safe. It's smart, easy, and incredibly affordable. Go to www.mycompanion247.com today. That's mycompanion247.com. Connection and independence for you and those you care about. mycompanion247.com.
He will be strong to deliver me safe. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's largest show for you as a family caregiver. The number one show for family caregivers is this show, and we're glad that you're part of it. That was Gracie and Russ Taff singing The Joy of the Lord. By the way, Nancy, I'm talking with my friend Nancy Kamish here on the show, and she's a lifelong friend of Gracie and mine, and she and Gracie were roommates in college. And I looked it up, Luke 4:23. That's where it says, "Physician, heal thyself." It's in the Gospel. Mm-hmm. Look, I stand correct, John.
As
I'm ashamed.
On those posturpedic shoes, yes.
I'm ashamed, John. I bow my head in grief and sorrow and lament loudly. I should have known this, but I am ashamed. But we're talking about the journey of closing out the estate, closing out the home, closing out the closure of emotionally and physically and fiscally of all the things that are involved, and where do you even start with something like that? And I've struggled in times like that, because I don't think anybody, when Gracie had her wreck, I don't think anybody expected her to live. Nancy, I don't think you expected her to live through the night when you found out about it.
Much less
live to see her grandchildren. And now I'm trying to think of what kind of world I'm going to leave for Gracie, Keith Richards, and Betty White.
Yeah.
And because Gracie's, what do I know? But this was a particularly difficult situation. You had to step into leadership on multiple levels, and you went in there. And if you were talking to other folks, right? Well, you are talking to other folks, and people just now starting to dip their toes into that particular stream, what would be the first place that you would have them start?
Before the break, I was talking about how Lucille had set us up for success.
And that was your mother-in-law.
As I said, yes, my mother-in-law, Lucille Kamish. Her story is remarkable. She became the adult in the room when her father passed when she was 14 years old. And she started doing the books for all of the businesses that he was in charge of. And the story is phenomenal about how, she never really learned to cook. My father-in-law taught her to cook. She was all about the financials and investing and banking and paying bills and paying, sharecroppers and paying employees and et cetera. That's off subject, but the thing remains, she was prepared for this. She had been preparing a lifetime for her child, because she knew that being an only child, he would need someone strong to help him through this. We all need someone strong. I don't mean that dismissively. We all need someone strong, because when we become an orphan, it is traumatic. And when you, especially for him, they knew all of his story, being adopted, and it was a closed adoption. They knew all of his story. So the fact that she had everything written down, things that we would have never known if she hadn't told us and written it down, all of those things. Right now, as a 56-year-old woman, I am beginning to realize I need to be writing these things down. I need to have someone now, as a 56-year-old woman, prepared to help me go through, not just an attorney, but someone who can tell me the ugly truth and be in love about, hey, this is something you need to prepare for your child, for your children. I have two sons. I have, we basically have two onlys. We have one that's 26 and we have one that's just turned 17. And you talk about difference, one could with help manage at the moment. We have one that we haven't even gotten out of the house out of high school. So,
but that's y'all's fault. And I told you that.
We won't go there. We will not visit that conversation.
We told you over that. We have grandchildren, and y'all still got one in high school. And I mean, I'm just y'all just figure it out. But no, yeah. I'm just kidding. You have two outstanding sons, and I hear your pain on that. Is you know, your youngest one? I mean, he's not out of the house, and that is a scary place. These are hard things, but I think writing it down. I mean, I love that. Just start writing it down. Just have that box in the closet kind of thing. And
have that one person you can absolutely, not everybody has this person. If you're blessed to have a spouse, that's one thing. But if you are not blessed, or your spouse has passed, or whatever the condition of your life is, that you find yourself, oh my gosh, bam, I'm in the middle of this disaster that could be a disaster if I don't get my hands wrapped around it and my mind wrapped around it. I must have someone that I can trust to tell me the truth about, hey, this little detail of life, this little detail of what's left behind or whatever, you can't drop this because it's going to be way bigger afterwards. Or, hey, honey, let that slide. Let that slide. Yeah, and I'm a perfectionist, yeah. Peter. You know me. I'm a perfectionist. And, oh, my word.
Choice of friends, but we'll let that one slide, too.
Hey, you came clearly, along
clearly
with
you need some work
I didn't
in that
have
area.
Much choice.
That's true. Yeah, I was kind of thrust upon this situation. What were you going to say, John?
Well, no, just that I think that is very important, and I think both of those deserve. You know, it's hard to pick which one is more important, and I don't think they are. I think that they both deserve equal emphasis. That for somebody to be able to, you know, look you right in the eye and know that this is not going to affect the relationship or anything mm-hmm. like that, that everybody's still going to be friends or family after this is mm-hmm. after this conversation happens, but to have mm-hmm. somebody who can tell you, hey, this is really important, and also when you start obsessing over something, or you just get wrapped all up in the need to for this yeah. thing to be right or whatever, just this is the small stuff. Don't sweat it. You know, this is let that go so you can focus on something else.
This is a subject we're going to have to revisit more than one time. And mm-hmm. Nancy, so I'm going to mm-hmm. have you back on another time with this, and I may have you on with Gracie at the same time. But it's
I need to put in some.
Yeah, get ready, John and I will get some coffee and let you two have it.
Yeah, yeah.
But mm-hmm. it's something that is. I love that. Write it down. Start writing it down, and then have that friend who can freely speak truth to power, quote unquote, that will get in your face and tell you, hey, this is the way. This is the way.
And
this,
I will throw one happen. Other thing in there, Peter. Your book.
Well, we got 5 seconds.
You have to have it.
Well, thank you.
You have to have it.
Well, thank you.
Both of them.
Very, very nice and very gracious. Well, listen,
Survival.
This is Hope for the Caregiver. I'm Peter Rosenberger. That's Nancy Kmish. And I thank you. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. We'll see you next week.
This is John Butler, and I produce Hope for the Caregiver with Peter Rosenberger. Some of you know the remarkable story of Peter's wife, Gracie. And recently, Peter talked to Gracie about all the wonderful things that have emerged from her difficult journey. Take a listen.
Gracie, when you envisioned doing a prosthetic limb outreach, did you ever think that inmates would help you do that?
Not in a million years.
When you go to the facility run by CoreCivic and you see the faces of these inmates that are working on prosthetic limbs that you have helped collect from all over the country that you put out the plea for, and they're disassembling. You see all these legs, like what you have, your own prosthetic
and
legs.
And arms, too.
And arms.
Everything.
When you see all this, what does that do to you?
Makes me cry. Because I see the smiles on their faces, and I know what it is to be locked someplace where you can't get out without somebody else allowing you to get out. Of course, being in the hospital so much and so long. And so these men are so glad that they get to be doing, as one man said, something good finally with my hands.
Did you know before you became an amputee that parts of prosthetic limbs could be recycled?
No, I had no idea. You know, I thought of peg leg. I thought of wooden legs. I never thought of titanium and carbon legs and flex feet and sea legs and all that. I never thought about that.
As you watch these inmates participate in something like this, knowing that they're helping other people now walk, they're providing the means for these supplies to get over there, what does that do to you just on a heart level?
I wish I could explain to the world what I see in there. And I wish that I could be able to go and say, this guy right here, he needs to go to Africa with us. I never not feel that way. Every time, you know, you always make me have to leave. I don't want to leave them. I feel like I'm at home with them. And I feel like that we have a common bond that I would have never expected that only God could put together.
Now that you've had an experience with it, what do you think of the faith-based programs that CoreCivic offers?
I think they're just absolutely awesome. And I think every prison out there should have faith-based programs like this, because the return rate of the men that are involved in this particular faith-based program and the other ones like it, but I know about this one, is just an amazingly low rate compared to those who don't have them. And I think that that says so much. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It just has something to do with God using somebody broken to help other broken people.
If people want to donate a used prosthetic limbs, whether from a loved one who passed away or, you know, somebody who outgrew them, you've donated some of your own for them to do. How do they do that? Where do they find it?
Please go to standingwithhope.com/recycle. standingwithhope.com/recycle.
Thanks, Gracie.